This podcast is sponsored to you by Bare Aesthetics. Candace at Bare Aesthetics is Boise's favorite esthetician, offering rejuvenating facials, corrective treatments for acne and aging, microneedling, collagen induction therapy, and all-natural, earth-friendly sugaring hair removal. Focusing on holistic beauty in the treatment room, her products and treatments are natural with a little bit of science. I honestly love hanging out in her sweet little treatment room. We talk about skincare, yoga, beauty, and I get so many compliments on my skin these days. So after hot yoga with no makeup on, my skin is clear and so glowy. Thank you, Candace. You can reach Candace at Bare Aesthetics online at bare-aesthetics.com. That's bare-aesthetics.com or give her a call at 925-980-9848. This information is also listed in the show notes, and be sure to mention my podcast, Overheard at Yoga, at checkout to get $10 off your first service. It's your girl, Christina. This is Overheard at Yoga. So let's crank up the heat and get down, dog. Welcome back to the podcast. It's Christina, and today I'm here with a good friend of mine, Teresa. What's your last name?
It's Molitor.
I thought so, but I wanted to double check. And I am so excited and so thrilled that you're going to be on this podcast because you're one of my very first yoga students that I ever had. And we just celebrated your birthday recently, and I remember writing in the card, I'm so glad you invited me to come sit in your hot tub after class that one day. Yeah. We drank some wine and got to talking, and now it's like 9 years later.
Yeah, that's right. We bonded over John Mayer, I think.
Yes, I played a lot of John Mayer in my classes. Yeah. Yes. Talking about music. You even made a playlist for me once, and it was all Guster. And it was amazing.
If anybody watches NCAA basketball, there is a screenshot of Mike Krzyzewski in front of a laptop of a sports reporter named Matt Norlander, who is a Guster fan, and his laptop says Guster for Lovers, that their bumper sticker. Uh-huh. And so, of course, that circulated through the Guster universe. But to this day, they are one of my favorite bands. They're just a fun band. They all went to Tufts University in Massachusetts, and I said, here, I have this Guster playlist for you. And you said, okay, well, that's nice, but each song is supposed to be like different. And I said, well, each song's different. It's just all from the same band. And you're like, no, that. But thank you. Thanks for thinking of us.
I said, thanks, but no. Yeah.
Thanks for making playlists.
My teacher trainer originally, like, I remember him giving us a little talk, and he's like, you never repeat the same artist in a playlist. And now I'm like, ah, that's fine. But I remember feeling, because I was such a Virgo, I'm like, oh, you can't do that. It's against the rule, because the yoga teacher universe says you can't do that. And then I realized that yoga teachers are just regular people, and it was fine.
I'm glad you mentioned astrology, one of my favorite topics.
Okay, so let's talk about astrology. Or will you actually introduce yourself? I'm just jumping ahead. I'm so excited to see you. Tell all of our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so my name is Teresa Molitor. I grew up here in Boise. There's a couple of us left, I think, that can claim that title. And went to college over in a little town in eastern Washington called Walla Walla, which is now well known for its wine. But at the time, it was well known for its onions, and also for a little college I went to called Whitman College, where I studied English and theater. Left college, lived at several different places for a while, and then decided I wanted to return to the West and go to law school. So I ended up in Missoula, Montana, and applied to law school. There's another separate story there where I also applied to do creative writing, and the law school accepted me and the creative writing program did not. So that's fine. That was my plan, or that was someone's plan for me. Uh-huh. And then after law school, returned to Boise, clerked for a judge for a year over at Ada County Courthouse, and then took a job as a lobbyist and have been doing that ever since. And it's quite surprising when you realize that you're able to do something you love and do it for a long time and just feel very blessed. All your listeners now are wondering, why is this girl on your podcast? Because usually Christina talks to healers and intuitives and yoga studio owners. And that's probably why I'm nervous, because I listened to your podcast, and I've been listening to it recently, catching up on some episodes. Mm-hmm. And I thought, why does she want me to come on again? Because I don't own a studio. And I also consider myself tall and awkward and not very coordinated. And in fact, throughout my life, because I'm 6 feet tall, people ask me when they meet me, they'll either say something very obvious like, wow, you're so tall.
Yeah.
And I've never to this day figured out a good response to that that doesn't come off sounding kind of mean or something or irritated. Or they'll follow that with something like, did you play basketball?
Mm-hmm.
And I say, well, I played a little bit, but I wasn't really very good. You know, I was more of an artsy kid. I was doing art, or was playing piano, or I was doing theater. And by this time, the person is really disappointed.
What a great way to meet you.
That I don't have a good sports story for them, where I was like the star center and made, you know, like the game-winning mm-hmm. basket. And it's like, I think they're just thinking like, what a waste of a tall person, right? That she didn't do volleyball, or I did a little volleyball, but I blame my knee problems on volleyball. But
well, I got similar things to me, and so then I got pressured into doing sports when I wasn't athletic at all. Mm-hmm. So like, I remember getting hit in the face with a basketball because I couldn't catch it right. I broke my thumb or pinky in volleyball. But I never went far with it. All these incidents happened in like elementary school, middle school, and I think I was in the C volleyball. Didn't make A team, didn't make B team. So they threw me on C team for freshman year because they had to. And then you had to try out the next year, and I'm gonna make it.
Mm-hmm. Same here. Same. There's these little incidents throughout school of just knowing instinctively that I was not cut out for those activities, just wasn't coordinated enough or whatever. I remember I made cheerleader in eighth grade, believe it or not. That always amuses people because we had lots of 10 girls try out and only 5 made it. And I think my friend Carmen may have had some secret way of getting me a spot on the team, even though I probably wasn't the best. But after I made cheerleader, I broke my right ankle like soon after that. And I guess they just took pity on me and let me be a cheerleader even with a cast on my ankle. But similar to your experiences, just was never, I never felt particularly cut out for sports, and tried different things, different physical activities throughout my life, trying to find something that I liked. I tried Pilates for a little while. There was just different things, and I had a friend who lived, he was a neighbor, my old house near Hollywood Market. And I remember him telling me one time, he said, he must have seen me sit on my deck too often, just not doing anything. And he said, and he was really into golf. And he said, you need to find something, just some physical activity that you love and just do it. And I said, you know, you're right. I don't know what that is. And so I guess, you know, all roads lead to Hollywood Market probably, because my house, as you know, was on the other end of the alley.
Mm-hmm.
And the way, you might ask me how I got into yoga. Maybe your listeners are still wondering, why is this lobbyist on your podcast? So I'll just say, so I share the alley with the studio that you run. And the owner, Sally, was spending time down there getting the studio ready for opening. By the way, when Hollywood Market closed, my first thought was, oh, what's it going to be? I hope it's mm-hmm. going to be a coffee shop.
Yeah. You know?
And when it was announced that it was going to be yoga, I was like, oh, all right. At least it'll be quiet, you know? At least the neighbors will be quiet. So I went down to talk to Sally about the paving the alley, which was horrible with...
It's even worse now. It's just gotten so bad.
And pretty soon I was walking around a studio and going to my first hot yoga class soon after you opened. And I remember after class thinking, that was so hard. I've never felt this way before. And I really can't wait to go back. And then I started going every day. And that was the first 30-day challenge that was happening at the studio. And Sally said, or you, I can't remember which, said, you know, you're coming here every day, sometimes twice a day. Why don't you just sign up for the challenge? And I was like, because I'm not sporty. You know, I was used to athletics being, there's a winner at the end, you know, or it's a contest between two teams or two people, like in tennis. And yoga was the first thing I'd really done that was not like that. And so a challenge, I realized, was just with myself, not with everybody else on the thing. But the funny thing is, as you know, there were only five of us back then. This was a fledgling business yes. back then. And so you were one of the people that, like me, finished the challenge. And I remember we had our little party at the Hollywood Market. It was like you, me, Sally, and one other person.
Yeah, we only five people did the challenge, and then only a couple people showed up to the party. And since we had thrown like major parties with full classes, and we started with like one poster board, maybe like half of it would be full of names, and then only half of that would complete it, and then. Before COVID, we got all the way up into three posters, and names are being written off the chart, and it was really cool. And so, because it was our first challenge, you always say, like, when's our poster going to go up on the wall? Because we never had one made.
Yeah, it was a fun, it's a fun memory, though, because, you know, then you and I really, our friendship sort of took off, and I said, yeah, I have this hot tub. Why don't you come sit in it after class? You're like, okay, see you there.
Say no more. I was really similar where I didn't feel athletic. I didn't feel, I didn't really do team sports. My mom was really, like, she was a single mom. She worked a lot. She wasn't able to afford stuff. She wasn't able to give me rides places. And so like I would start an activity and then ultimately we'd always have to like end it because they would start to need you to buy more things, need you to travel more places. And so I always ended up like starting a thing and then not working out. And, when she got a little more established in her life and we moved to West Boise where I went to school, that's when I told you I did like track and people were like, you should do basketball. And got hit in the face. And then they're like, you should do volleyball. Broke my finger. Like, something's happening here. I can't even dance right. It's so awkward. And when I figured out hot yoga, I was nervous because you think of these group classes as very like rah, rah, rah. And so awkward and like high five and good job and don't quit. And I'm like, oh my God, like it feels so, so inauthentic and weird. And so when I go to yoga and they're like, you're on your yoga mat, do whatever you want. I'm like, oh,
really?
Really? Like, you can take child's pose. I don't care. And maybe it's like I'm an inner rebel and I need to have control. I was talking to India on one of the podcast episodes. We were talking about the book, The Four Tendencies. And some people need structure and some people, you cannot tell them what to do. So I don't know. I kind of feel like for me, that's where yoga fit in. And that was the first time I was able to feel athletic and fit and healthy.
That's cool because I'm still not sure how I feel like in total about yoga. It does a lot for me that I can't really even articulate. And you know, I'm in a business that's very competitive, and what I like about yoga is it's non-competitive. And it took me a while after going to classes, to figure out that people really weren't very interested in what I was doing on my mat, and get over my insecurity. I think I still feel like a bit of an imposter in there, like I don't belong in a lot of ways, just because I, you know, I'm just around, still probably doing too much comparison of, you know, who's fitter, who's more flexible, who does handstands, who does... You know, and realizing like my body can do certain things and it's not cut out to do other things, and just acceptance that it teaches. That's a good thing for me to learn, and yoga is helpful for that.
as a yoga teacher, I can get caught up in that comparison trap, because I remember taking a class and seeing that one of the studio instructors was in class, and this is before I became a teacher at Hollywood, before Hollywood existed. And so I'm like, oh, there's going to be a teacher practicing alongside me. I bet she's going to be perfect. And she kept taking breaks, and she wasn't doing the full expression of the pose. She was only going to her edge. And at the time, I didn't understand it, and I was judging her. And I'm so embarrassed to say that out loud. I'm like, I literally was taking this class with her, and I'm a train wreck. And I am judging this other woman for her yoga practice because I had expectations for her as a teacher. And so when I signed up for my teacher training, I was going back and forth on whether I should drop out of training because I'm not perfect enough to take the training or to be a teacher. And so when I got through all that bullshit and I started being a teacher and noticing like all the yoga teachers can teach with their own flair and every single student in the room is totally different. I was in class with another fellow teacher recently, and we're doing Happy Baby, and my legs are long, yes, but there's zero flexibility. Like, they are tight. And this other teacher is shorter than me, but she is so open. Her hips are open, her hamstrings are open, and she like has her leg up over her head. And I got in my head, and I was like, yep, that's never going to happen with me. That's okay. Stop looking at her, Christina. Get back to your bent knee Happy Baby. It's totally fine. And I'm really grateful that I see that. And it's just so funny how it creeps in all the time. And it happens to everyone. I think every single person who signs up for teacher training at one point is like, I don't know if I can do this, if I've been doing yoga long enough. I'm like, no, it's just yoga.
Well, and the trick to yoga, I mean, it's interesting because I realized I really like the community part of it and being in a group. And even though I'm past, you know, looking around the room the whole time and seeing what everybody else is doing or see if they're looking at me, I still like the idea of exercising in a group and how different it is from a gym with a group of people in a gym, who are all in their own workout usually or working out with a trainer. And again, there's like an end goal of like, can you bench more today? Can you get to 225? Can you get to 250? And I think there's some of that in yoga too, of like working toward the pinnacle of the pose, right? The whatever. But the situation just feels so different and more nurturing to me. I will tell a quick story before I forget. You, as I've told you before a million times, are one of my favorite teachers, and I think one of the best teachers because you're consistent. I just knew every class was going to be, you know, probably similar to the last, and I could count on it. And but you did something for me in one of my early classes that really just blew my mind, because it was, you know, again, in those early weeks of the session, listen to me being a lobbyist, of the studio being open. And I went in there like I always did with my mat and my towel, and I set up in the back. And there was this day where there were like six students in the back and nobody in the front row, maybe seven or whatever. And you came in and looked around and you're like, okay, we need to balance this room out. somebody needs to get to the front. And I was the first person you pointed at. And you said, Teresa, get to the front. You know this. And I was like, me? Like, she thinks I know. And the fact is I did know the routine by then pretty well, because I'd been doing it so much. But it just was totally, it's your style is so, you instill confidence in people in a way that I think is really unique to you. And I mean, I'm not saying there aren't other amazing teachers that I've had at that studio and other places, but that really gave me the confidence to just, you know, get out of my head so much about whether I should be there or not, or whether I was enough of a yogi, or did I eat well enough outside the studio, or do I drink enough juice, or you know what I'm saying, all those things, like, am I worthy of being in this community?
Oh man, I love that. Thank you so much for saying that and for sharing that story and for the compliment. I admire you so much. And so to receive a compliment from you, I'm always like, feel so good. Thank you so much for sharing that. In the beginning, when we would teach at the studio, we only had one sequence at the studio. So it was very Bikram influenced. Mm-hmm. And we would always be like, okay, if you know the routine, you go in the front because we want to save the back row for new folks who aren't sure what's going on so they can feel comfortable looking around. And of course I'd be like, Teresa, what are you doing? Get in the front. You're like, what?
I was like looking behind me, like, is there someone? Oh, I'm in the back row. She is pointing at me. Okay.
And now you're in the front row every single time.
Well, that's because my eyesight is fading. Cause you know what birthday I just celebrated. So I realize I'm really poor at poses, balancing poses, if I can't see now, if I can't see myself, or if I can't, like, I went to a yoga studio up in Coeur d'Alene, hot yoga, very similar to Hollywood Market, but they have a very dark studio, very dark, and I realize I'm like falling out of balancing poses unless I can really see myself. So as the community at Hollywood Market has grown and there are more and more people there who I think are beautiful yogis and, you know, inspiring to have in class with me. I still usually park it in the front row so I can see.
So you recently celebrated a birthday. What's your astrology sign?
So May 6th, I'm a Taurus. Mm-hmm. Just celebrated my 50th birthday. So.
Congratulations. By the way, your party was so fun. Oh, had a blast. What was the name of the band again?
Dry Buck.
And they're this local string band. They were so fun. I like waved at them when I walked out. And they waved at me because we had seen them the week prior at...
Powder House,
yes. Fun, really cool guys. And I was amazed. So I bring my boyfriend. I'm like, you can tag along with me. And we get there. I don't know anyone. And he's like talking to people and meeting people. I'm like, how do you know these people? So I think that's interesting that your guys' circles kind of cross. And then we all kind of cross circles. And we're all from Boise. So
yeah,
made sense.
Yeah, I think I mentioned community before, and I'll talk about astrology in a second. But for me, I'm an extrovert, and I just like being around people. And so obviously for me, the past 2 years have been very difficult just for that reason alone. But so I think I felt like the response I had to the party even before and after was just people wanting to reconnect in person and having an experience like that, having an excuse to leave the house and go see people, you know, I think we're still emerging from that, that whole, how it, you know, affected our desire to socialize. Because, you know, once you can get food delivered at home and get movies delivered at home and get everything delivered at home, dog food, it's harder and harder to justify. And gas prices are up. And it's like, why would I want to leave, you know? But, you know, we do need each other. And we need each other in person, and that's how I feel about yoga too. But yeah, May 6th, I'm a Taurus.
Do you like long walks on the beach and candlelit dinners?
Yes, I do. I am not an astrologist, and I am not an expert in astrology, and so I just want to say that at the outset. But it is a topic that fascinates me to no end, and I've lived with people and have been friends with people who are, I would consider, experts in it. And a lot of what I know, I've learned from them and from what I've read and the little I've studied. But I think the reason I got interested in it is because my sister is 14 months older than me, and we are diametrically different. Not just different looking or whatever, but different from our core, you know, where we react differently to things. We are interested in different things. And for my life, I'm like, why aren't my sister and I best friends? Why aren't we closer? Why don't we share interests? Why do I, you know, like this and she doesn't and she likes that? Because my whole growing up, I grew up Catholic. And so, you know, it was all about like the nature and nurture thing for me was about, you know, your nature is like, whether you're you're Irish or German or whatever. And then the nurture part is like how you were raised, you know. And my sister and I were all similar on those fronts. You know, we had the same, mostly the same DNA. We had the same upbringing. We were dressed the same in some cases because we were so close in age that people would buy us the same clothes. And I got to a point where, you know, like maybe 20 years ago, I'm like, why aren't my sister and I best friends? Because, you know, everybody, the expectation was that we should be, I guess. And then astrology came along and I was like, oh, it's because, okay, all right. Oh, it's not my fault. Oh, I didn't, it's not because I didn't try hard enough or reach out enough or thrust my ideas or you know, hobbies onto her. It's just because she doesn't like those things.
And what is her sign?
She's a Pisces.
Really?
Yeah. And so she loves the Oregon coast. It's her favorite place. Well, guess what? She's a fish.
Yep.
You know, she loves water. And, you know, we both grew up in Boise. So why would she love the water so much when she wasn't part of her nurture, right? Well, it has to be something in there that, you know, for me at least, that I believe that there's more to it than just, oh, she went to the beach once and she liked it. It just appealed to something in her nature. I love to garden. I'm an earth sign. Taurus is fixed earth. So, you know, we're the earthiest of the earth. You Virgos are earth.
I'm a fixed earth, right?
Like you're mutable. I can't remember.
Oh, yeah. What does mutable mean again?
You're not as fixed as Taurus.
Am I in the middle? Is that mutable or is that the end?
I'll have to consult a real astrologist on some of this.
Doesn't fixed mean like the beginning of, like, if you're a fixed fire, that's when the fire like sparks. And then if you're in the mutable, that's like when it's really burning. And then the last one is when it's smoldering. And those have different effects. Is that?
That could be true, because if Taurus is fixed and Virgo is mutable, then Capricorn must be that must be how it goes, because it's the order of the.
I don't really know how that would work with Earth. Someone gave me an example of the fire. So, like, who's a fire?
Who's a fire that we know?
Well, like, is Capricorn a fire?
No, that's the Earth.
See, this is why I'm glad you're here.
Well, no, it's okay. Like, you had a guest on recently that said she's always striving for balance, balance, balance. And I was like, when's Christina going to ask her if she's a Libra?
Oh, that makes sense.
And I don't know if she is, but of course I'm screaming at my iPad. I'm like, I bet she's a Libra.
She's a Libra.
Maybe she isn't, but I bet she has some in her chart somewhere. Incidentally, my sun sign is Taurus, but my moon is in Aquarius and my rising is Gemini. And I won't get into all that stuff, but Gemini and Aquarius are both air signs and Taurus is earth. So as earthy as I feel I am, I do have a lot of that creative, airy, you know, air stuff. And so it's interesting to find out, you know, you're a Virgo, but you know the rest of your chart as well.
I have it written down.
You did. You really prepared.
I'm like,
for
I
this
need
podcast.
To write this
like,
down.
I'm going to talk to my lobbyist friend about astrology today.
I'm like, come on the pod, talk to me about this. And I even used all the emojis so that I would know which one it is.
I think you have a Leo. I think you're...
I'm a rising Taurus, so sun sign is Virgo, Earth, rising Taurus, another Earth. My moon is in Aries, which is fire. My Mercury is Libra, air, Venus, Scorpio, water, Mars. I mean, there's so many you guys. I'm just going down the line.
It's sort of fun to find that all out. But you have to know what time you were born.
Exactly.
To find out.
So I was born in Japan at 7:31 p.m. So I have 4 earth signs, 3 fire signs, 2 water signs, and 1 air sign. What does that mean?
Gosh, let's consult a real astrologist after this.
I also wrote down my boyfriend's.
Of course.
He has 3 earth signs, 2 fire signs, 3 water signs, and 3 air signs.
I just know my Gemini is in Venus, and that makes me a very sort of... person who, you know, Venus is your love's romantic sign.
And yes.
Gemini's in Venus, like a lot of variety. So it's sort of a goofy situation.
My Venus is in Scorpio. And
oh boy.
Scorpio's a water sign. And boyfriend's Venus is also in Scorpio.
Oh boy. Well, those of you listening who know about what the Scorpio people are, then you'll know why I'm saying, oh boy.
What are Scorpio people like? They're passionate people.
Well, I mean, the easiest answer is that I've heard is that they're the sign of sex.
Oh.
So if you're Venus, Well, so the other thing I've learned is that in astrology, so you start at the top with Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer. You go down, you know, through that list of 12.
Okay.
They each sign also rules a part of the body. So Aries rules the head. You start at the top of the body, you go down. Taurus rules neck and shoulders. Gemini rules arms and hands. Cancer rules mammary glands. Cancer is a sign of motherhood. So Cancer. And then keep going down the body, you end with Pisces ruling the feet, which is sort of odd because they're fish.
What's Virgo?
Let's see. Virgo is, I think Scorpio is the sex organ. So Virgo, I was afraid you might quiz me today on Virgo things because both my brothers are Virgos.
That's the most important sign.
I should probably know more about that. I must not have much in my chart.
Is it like the solar plexus area? Now I'm going to get into chakras.
I'll have to look it up, but there's another very, very interesting thing that that you can look at, and it's about there's a two-word phrase for each sign that is it basically describes the sign in like I this or I that or whatever. So I'm trying to find it right now. Anyway, Taurus is a sign of, it's a sign of beauty and it's a sign of possession. And so we love to acquire things and beautiful things and don't necessarily have to be expensive. They just have to be something that we find beautiful. So for instance, in my house, I have some very old plates on my wall that were, you know, real, they would be worth nothing if you took them to the Antiques Roadshow. But they mean a lot to me because they belong to my grandma and they were on her wall. And, you know, they came from pretty modest means, but they were beautiful to her. And plus they look amazing on my wall. So there they are. But, and I'm also a rat in the Chinese cycle. So if you think about rats, one of the things you talk about is like pack rat and people that collect things. And so I have to, between my Taurus and my rat, I feel like I have to really guard against being a hoarder and collecting too much stuff.
Oh, okay.
Which is it's a good thing I'm in a smaller house now because.
I remember coming over to your house after, I don't know if it was after class, you had a friend visiting from out of town and your friend was really into astrology too. Mm-hmm. And we're sitting on your.
Megan, she's one I've learned a lot of this from.
So we're sitting on your back patio. Yes. And so we start talking about astrology, but then you bring up Chinese astrology. So I'm like, wait a minute. And then you're laying out, here's astrology, here's Chinese astrology, here's where it overlaps. And it was so interesting to me.
She's brilliant on this stuff. And she's someone I've learned a lot about astrology from. And I have no reason to doubt anything she tells me about it. And I think about it all the time. I probably shouldn't, but like I have five nieces. I know, you know, all their signs are. I know everybody's signs are. And people are just like, enough, you know. But it's, so I'm in the business of, you know, lobbying is a profession really about communication at the end of the day, contrary to what most people in society think about lobbyists. Unfortunately, we're not, we probably don't live up to the myth mostly that people have of us because we're really just out there in the business of information. And, you know, communicating is about listening and speaking and, you know, a lot of what happens in yoga is about, there's a lot of similarities actually because, you know, active listening is also part of communicating. And listening in yoga is pretty important. Even if you know the routine and I get a little irritated with people that jump out ahead, like kind of like trying to show people that they know what's coming next because of all people in there that know what's coming next is probably me. I've been going there for so long, even though I'm not perfect at all the poses, but I do know what's coming next. But it's partly just the discipline of waiting and listening, waiting for that cue. You know, there's another theater reference for you, but, you know, waiting for your cue, you know, to do the next thing. I love that about yoga and the discipline of the class. And
has that affected your work as a lobbyist?
I think so. So I've been doing this 18 years, and I've been doing yoga for about half that time now. So, and a lot of my life really is, maybe for a lot of people, pre-yoga, post-yoga, right? There's like that marker.
Yes.
You know?
Uh-huh.
I started doing yoga May 30th, 2013. And my first class was 9:30, Hollywood Market Yoga. Dawn taught the class.
Mm-hmm.
I had my mat right in front of that space in the back and that window, sliding door. And, you know, it was transformative. And, you know, I think for me, learning, first of all, finding something athletic, quote unquote,
yeah,
that appealed to me was amazing. I finally, you know, it's interesting, like at the end of the day, I realized I had a choice now. I could go to a yoga class, or I could go grab a drink with people like I used to, or, you know, I had like something else that, you know, was frankly just better for me. Not just physically, but mentally. And, you know, I have a relationship with that space too.
Mm-hmm.
It's because I used to go there as a kid with my grandpa, who would go get food for the food bank, for St. John's Food Bank, from Margaret. And so, you know, there's something about that space that also is probably fairly interwoven with my personal relationship with yoga.
Oh, I just got chills. I love that. Yeah. And Margaret was the previous owner of the Hollywood Market Yoga, or Hollywood Market before it became Hollywood Market Yoga, which is named after it. We have a photo of her in our lobby. If you ever visit Hollywood, come by, see that photo.
Yeah, you've had guests on who are like intuitives and stuff, mm-hmm. and I don't hold myself out that way at all. I'm in awe of those types of people. But I do feel, you know, I do feel the spirit of, I love old buildings, as you know, old homes, old structures, old things. And I really believe that, you know, that there are spirits there that are kind of taking care of us in there. And my grandpa, after my grandma died in 1996, he and Margaret became even better friends than they were when my grandma was alive. They just palled around together. Margaret never drove a car, so my grandpa would pick her up. He lived at 11th and Alturas. He'd come pick her up just a few blocks away, and he drove an old white Ford Tempo. And when I was driving home, because I lived a little ways up 8th Street at the time, I would drive by and see my grandpa's Ford Tempo out there. And of course, it was a market back then. They sold stuff. And I would drive by and think, oh, they're going to go out to the chuck wagon tonight. And but since my grandpa died, and Margaret died soon after my grandpa died, actually. And then, as I mentioned, we were all totally curious about what was going to happen to the space. But I think, you know, kudos to Sally for really imagining something being there that wasn't there before. I love that about her. She's an Aquarius, and I think mm-hmm. that's an Aquarius trait of being able to see things that aren't there and make something of of nothing. Of course, there was the building there, but what was it going to be? And, you know, I do feel Margaret in there sometimes. I feel my grandpa in there. Sometimes I look out the window when I'm doing a pose, and I can see my grandpa's white Ford Tempo parked out there on the curb, you know?
Yes.
And I don't know. I can do yoga in other places, and I have. I've done yoga in other studios. But I do think when you find not just an activity that appeals to you, but a space and a community and a teacher like you that appeals to you as well, it really makes for a good combination. This sounds like a plug for Hollywood Market.
I just love
it.
Promos
for you guys.
Thank you.
Just do ads for you guys.
right. Well, I think there's something, that's why I wanted to have you on, is because you were one of my very first students, and you started doing yoga there like the month before I graduated yoga teacher training. And so thanks for sticking with me. I appreciate it. And we do have to tie things up. So real quick, what have you overheard at yoga?
You know, I've been thinking about this just because I've overheard so many things. And collectively, this is going to sound cheesy, but what I've overheard at yoga, and a lot in the dressing room there just after class, because it's a silent studio, so I don't usually don't hear a lot of people talking in the studio, but what I hear after class and before class is a lot of relationships. I hear a lot of community, and I hear a lot of friendships, either friendships that have started before people came together to yoga, or friendships that are forming at the studio. And it's fun for me to be in there and just, and know that, you know, there are people coming there that I've never met before. I know they're new, and I know they're meeting each other there. And I heard one time, you know, someone came in several years ago, and it was her first class, and she was talking to her friend, and her friend's like, how, you know, what'd you think? And she's like, oh, that was so hard, but I can't wait to come back. And I was like, that was me. I was like, this is awesome. Like, there's a little mini me right there, and she will be back. And
so I have a overheard at yoga story about you, actually. and it's not like a legitimately overheard this, but I remember you, was I the teacher in the class where you got up and started messing with the blinds and you couldn't, and I'd like come over, or maybe I was in the class and I wasn't the teacher, and then the teacher was trying to help you, and then it's you and this teacher, and you're fussing over these bamboo blinds that would get tangled up all the time and they never worked properly. And after class, you're like, there was some drunk guy standing outside the window modeling the yoga poses. So we're all doing standing bow, and you see this guy just staring in the window, and he's trying to do yoga. And it was very uncomfortable. And this is really funny, too, because we just finally replaced those really crappy bamboo blinds. And we are now brand new.
Ooh, I can't wait to see.
Remote control blinds in the studio.
Oh, I forgot about that story. I remember one night a dog ran in when you opened the door.
Yes. cats have run in. Dogs have run in because it's right on the street side.
Love it.
I love you. I adore you. I'm so grateful for our friendship. I have so much admiration for you. And you're such a great storyteller. Thank you for sharing your wisdom and coming on my podcast. Thanks for listening, everyone. I hope you guys have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Christina.
Bye, guys. Thanks again for listening to the podcast. Please rate and review us. It's a great way to help others find the community. If you found this podcast interesting or valuable, please share it with a friend. Also, if you are interested in sponsoring or showing support, you can contact me via email. It's xtinayoga@gmail.com. Otherwise, please follow on Instagram, overheard at .yoga.